It's a very short paragraph anyway, but chapter 9, paragraph 5. The will of man is made perfectly and immutably free to good alone in the state of glory only. The will of man is made perfectly and immutably free to good alone in the state of glory only. So this is speaking of the perfect holiness of heaven. The perfect holiness of heaven. Even though the chapter is dealing with the will of man, God's sovereignty over the will of man means that he can make a sinner who comes into this world wholly inclined to evil to be wholly inclined to good. This he will do in the hearts of his elect. He will make them wholly inclined to that which is good. He does not complete this work in this world, only in the world to come. We perhaps cannot entirely, in fact, surely we cannot entirely understand the way that God applies redemption, that the blessings that Christ has purchased for his people are not all given all at once immediately. He regenerates and brings to faith in Christ. He justifies. But the process of sanctification, which begins with the new birth, goes on until the believer leaves this world and is only completed in heaven. And indeed, the resurrection of the body does not take place until the last day. So God has his own appointed schedule of how he applies the Redeemer's benefits to his people. And we must accept the wisdom of God in these things. So perfection of holiness is in heaven and not before. First of all, then, a work in progress. A work in progress. Ephesians 4 and verse 13. Reading from verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This indicates that the church is being sanctified, that the gifts of the ministry are appointed instruments in that work of sanctification. Both the temporary offices of the apostolic age and the continuing pastoral and teaching office in the church, that this is an appointed public means of an instrument of God in his hand in the sanctification of his people. And it is also clear from this verse that we need these means of grace, as we call them, all through this present life. There is no point at which we can say we no longer need the fellowship of the saints and the preaching of the word in that context. As long as we are in this world and as long as we are physically able to do so, we should gather with the people of God to be taught the truth of God as the means, as a means appointed by God for our growth in holiness. So there is no point at which we get beyond need of the means of grace, because there is no point in this world where we can say we have attained, we are perfected in holiness beyond all need of sanctification. And then secondly, it is a work that will be completed at death. It is a work that will be completed at death. Hebrews 12 and verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So even in the intermediate state, the soul is perfected in holiness. By the intermediate state, we simply mean the time between death and the last day, that the souls of believers go to be with Christ and they are perfected in holiness, even while their body lies in the grave. Their souls are perfected in the presence of Christ, so that they are the spirits of just men made perfect. They're beyond all sin. And heaven, even in that state where the soul is absent from the body, but present with the Lord, is perfected in holiness. But then thirdly, it will be completed for the whole church at the last day. It will be completed for the whole church at the last day. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There we are told that when he appears, all of God's people will be like him. When the Lord Jesus comes in his glory, all of his people will be like him. Not only will our bodies be made like unto his glorious body, but all of God's people will be perfect in holiness. Now, those who have left this world before the coming of Christ, their souls will already be perfect in holiness. But those who are the last generation in this world, who will meet him in the air, they also will be perfected in holiness. The whole church of God will be free from sin at the coming of the Lord Jesus. He will bring about the final application of redemption in the resurrection of the body, and those who are still imperfect saints in this world will be perfected in holiness at that day. Sin and all its effects will be gone, and gone forevermore. Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15. Therefore, this is the multitude which no man can number out of every nation and kindred, and they've come out of great tribulation, because tribulation belongs to all of God's people. It's not simply a special period in the history of the church. The whole of the redeemed have come out of great tribulation. And verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The complete absence of all the effects of sin, and the complete absence of sin itself. How could all tears be wiped away from our eyes if we were still sinners. But in the at the last day, the whole of God's people will be perfectly holy. And then finally, God is able. God is able, and this is our comfort. In Jude verse 24, Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. When Jude says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, he isn't simply presenting an abstract possibility. Well, he could do it, but he might not. That would be of little use to the people of God. He's saying God is able because he will do it. He will sanctify us wholly. He is faithful and he will do it. If God were aloof from sovereignly governing the will of man, how could we ever have assurance of being kept even in this world, never mind irreversibly perfected in the world to come? If God were, as it were, either not sovereign over the will of man, or in some way that sovereignty was something that he did not exercise, as Arminians often suggest, how could we be sure not only of being kept in this world, but of being irreversibly perfected in the world to come? If man has an independent free will in this world, then we can be justified and then be condemned again. But it also raises the question, if man has a sovereignly independent will, independent of God, even in the world to come, how could we be assured of perfection in holiness, which is never marred and never reversed? If God, as it were aloof from the will of man, who knows what could happen? But God is able to keep us from falling in this world and present us faultless before the throne of his glory, of the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy. And he is able so to work in us as to perfect us irreversibly in the world to come. Our confidence is in the power of God, not some imaginary independent will of man. He is able to keep us from falling. He is able to present us faultless and eternally faultless, because he is the sovereign God of heaven. And what a consolation and comfort that is, to know that our salvation, including our sanctification, is of God. It doesn't mean that we shake off biblical responsibility. We are to pursue holiness in the fear of God, and we are to mortify the deeds of our members. But it is God who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if God has begun a good work in us, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And not only will he keep us from falling in the sense of total apostasy from the faith, but he will perfect us in an unchangeable perfection of holiness in the world to come. Christians desire holiness. They've been born of God. They have a new nature. they cannot but desire Christ and holiness and heaven. And because they desire the purity of being with him and being like him beyond this world, whoso hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. The man who only desires a future holiness and has no desire for holiness in the present is laboring under a delusion. Those who have the Spirit of God in them, they look forward to the perfection of heaven and they are seeking holiness in the present, notwithstanding the conflict with the world, the flesh and the devil, a conflict which will only end when we leave this world. And that's why our confession says, the will of man is made perfectly and immutably free to good alone in the state of glory only. No perfection in this world, but a pursuing of holiness is the mark of the child of God, but a certainty of perfection of holiness in the next world, a holiness that will never end in the presence of the Lord.